Kia ora, ko Daniela Mawate Coxaho. No Mikey Tafari, welcome to the House. The 52nd Parliament has come to an end, and in typical parliamentary fashion, the MPs finished it off with a debate.
She is going to be more famous than usual, and that is going to be because she will be a one-term Labour leader.
That was eyebrow-raising stuff.
And I know everybody here is champing at the bit to get out and campaign around the country, trying out their new election slogans. There's Labour, let's keep moving. New Zealand first, let's not.
The adjournment debate is the last chance for MPs to address the House of Representatives before they get stuck into 6 weeks of election campaigning. Like all debates, a motion has to be moved, which is the formal way an MP asks for something to be considered by the House. This task fell to the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern.
Mr. Speaker.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do now adjourn until 2 p.m. on Tuesday, 18 August 2020.
Don't be fooled by the August 18th date given for the return of the House, as it'll be dissolved by then. At the end of a Parliament's term, the Governor-General issues a proclamation to dissolve it, which initiates a course of events leading to a general election. This dissolution will take place on Wednesday, so in this debate, party leaders and MPs are using the last opportunity in the House to set the tone for the campaign ahead. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
It is fair to say this campaign that we are about to embark on is not the campaign that we planned and prepared for 6 months ago, nor will our manifesto be the same as it would have been had we released it in January of this year. But that is the reality of politics and the reality of this world that we're living in right now. But I can tell you this. The values that we campaigned on in 2017, the aspirations that we had coming into this place remain unchanged. Our plans to keep creating high-wage jobs are as important now as they ever were, on supporting our job creators, on ridding this country of child poverty, on making a transition to a clean, green, carbon-neutral economy. Mr. Speaker, we've started that journey, and now we want to finish it. Let's keep moving.
Leader of the Opposition, Judith Collins.
I've just heard the Prime Minister make which I think is going to be one of those speeches that we're going to look on. We're going to say, well, that was very interesting, wasn't it? Because she is going to be more famous than usual, and that is going to be because she will be a one-term Labour leader. Yeah. And that is what I'm here to tell her today. I'm here to tell her today that the last one was Bill Rowling, and good for her, she's about to join him.
Judith Collins says this election will be extremely important.
Let's just have a look at what, though, is facing New Zealand. This is going to be an extremely important election because it's about who is going to be best able to manage what has been described by the New Zealand Reserve Bank as the biggest economic downturn in 160 years. That is even older than our dear friend, Right Honourable Winston Peters. That is 160 years built, 160 years. And what did I just hear from the Prime Minister? The leader of the Labour Party. What did I hear from the leader of the Labour Party? A whole lot of pixie dust and talking about how everything's just going to be fine. That's what I heard. An awful lot of dust.
New Zealand First Leader and Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters is up next.
That was eyebrow-raising stuff. And I don't use Botox. All the criticism for almost 10 minutes and not one new idea. Out there in the provinces and the hamlets of this country, all those people who are expecting something, at least now, at the start of this campaign from the leader of the National Party, just got carp, cant and criticism. But no vision, no plan, no policy. And we're still, after 9 years of doing nothing about the RMA, she says we're at fault. Extraordinary. This is from somebody who's a trained lawyer saying that sort of stuff. Don't go now, this is your best chance to learn something.
The Green Party has one MP fewer than New Zealand First, meaning its party co-leader James Shaw often had to wait till after Winston Peters for his turn to speak.
It's always a pleasure to follow the Right Honourable Winston Peters in debate. I'll miss it, to tell you the truth. Here we are, Mr. Speaker. The final hour of the final day of the 52nd Parliament, our business for the moment complete. And I know everybody here is champing at the bit to get out and campaign around the country, yeah, trying out their new election slogans. Yeah. There's Labour. Let's keep moving. New Zealand first. Let's not. You can almost see the advertisements, can't you? New Zealand first. You can stop progress.
The final party leader to speak is the ACT Party's David Seymour.
Not in living memory has our country entered an election against such a backdrop of global uncertainty. The medical, economic, and geopolitical impacts of COVID-19 remain unpredictable, but we know that those impacts are on New Zealanders' businesses, on their household finances, on their jobs, and on their mental health. We politicians enter this election campaign with a job to do. The world is changing all around us, and our small island nation must find its place anew in that ever-changing world.
Most of the debates in the House have to stay on the topic of the legislation being debated, but this one is more general and allows MPs to talk about any topic they like. Minister for Social Development Carmel Sepuloni reflected on working with the effects of COVID-19, which she says resulted in many Zoom calls.
We as a government had to act quickly, and we did. During this period, I've had my own Ashley Bloomfield, and her name is Debbie Power, the CE of MSD. We spoke sometimes, 10 times a day, this on top of the Zoom calls. Turns out we had quite a lot to talk about. The development and implementation of the wage subsidy, implementing benefit increases and the doubling of the winter energy payment alongside what was already in train and due to be rolled out on the 1st of April, which was lifting abatement thresholds, indexing benefits to wages, and getting rid of that sanction, Section 192.
Labour MP Kieran McInulty says despite the media portrayal of Parliament as a combative place, MPs do have the ability to work together.
Despite what people may see in the debating chamber is not as adversarial as one might think.
Oh, no.
I came into this House thinking it would be like a school ball. Girls on one side, boys on the other, and no one talking. But I'm very, very pleased to say that that is not the case. And I learned that lesson when I was asked to attend a Probus meeting in Greytown as my first speaking engagement as a newly elected MP, and after preparing a speech, a 45-minute speech, as per was the request, I was told upon arriving not to talk about politics. What does one talk about? So I talked about the examples of the House working together, of National, Labor, New Zealand First, Greens, and ACT, when the time comes and when the task requires, we work together.
Looking forward, National MP Chris Bishop says changes to Parliament's rules, which will bring ministers in front of select committees more often, is a positive move. Select committees are smaller groups of cross-party MPs who examine legislation, budget decisions, and hear from experts, officials, and the public.
I think it's going to be good that ministers appear before select committees more. My genuine feeling is that we do not hold ministers and the executive account enough in Parliament to the way that we should. If you look at overseas parliaments, they put ministers and the executive and the public servants through the ringer. And we think it's acceptable for ministers to turn up for an hour for the estimates and an hour for the annual reviews with the departments each year. Overseas in Australia, they'd have the departmental chief executives in for an entire day, and they go through the budgets line by line on a forensic level, and they examine what's going on. We don't do that here. And actually, MMP was meant to be an accentuation in the role of Parliament in holding the executive to account, and it has not worked out like that.
National MP Barbara Kuriger explains what her role as a party whip involves.
Probably in this 52nd Parliament, something that I've often said to people as a whip, they ask what a whip does, and I say politicians are people too. And so, you know, pastoral care is a part of it. You know, we do have people who have families, who have illnesses, they have deaths, they have births, they have all sorts of things going on in their family. But also, you know, politicians are not infallible.
The personal lives of MPs have been drawn into the public eye this term, and Minister of Education Chris Hipkins says an MP's family shouldn't be drawn into debates.
Members of Parliament's families have been in the debate far too much lately, Mr. Speaker. So I want to take a moment to thank the families of Members of Parliament on both sides of the chamber, but take a particular moment to thank the families of those members who have had some difficulty in recent times on both sides of the House, and acknowledge how difficult that has been for them, the dignity that they have showed in that. Frankly, an attack on one member's family is an attack on all members' families, Mr. Speaker, and I think that we should all stand together in saying that we won't tolerate for that. And I want to thank all of our families for the support they give us. None of us could do the jobs we do without the support of the people who love us and care for us when we are not here. And so I want to very warmly conclude by thanking all of them.
In November 2018, the Speaker of the House, Trevor Mallard, announced Debbie Francis would lead an independent external review into bullying and harassment of staff within the parliamentary workplace. The report, known as the Francis Review, was released in May 2019 and said sexual harassment and sexual violence are likely to be underreported. 85 recommendations were made, including better leadership, training, and building a culture of dignity and respect. The Speaker of the House, Trevor Mallard, echoes the concern over the conduct of MPs.
I mean, I can't let this all sound like it's good. There are some members of this House and some staff members who have behaved disgracefully. And I hope we're developing systems to reduce the amount of that sort of bad behaviour. It's also fair to say that we've had a group of members who've had a bumpy start but have significantly improved. And I'm a very strong view that coaching and mentoring, especially in regard to working with staff, is something that we must continue going forward.
Trevor Mallard also shared some statistics about Parliament.
We'll start off with the sitting days, 245 during this Parliament, 255 calendar days. We have had a total of 1,522 hours approximately, and we've had 168 hours and 41 minutes under urgency. That is about 11% of my rough calculation and is well under half what used to be the case in proportion before the reforms of the Standing Orders Committee.
Mr. Mallard said the government introduced 195 bills and passed 202. There were 395 petitions, 209 of which have been reported back. 2,865 oral questions have been asked and close to 14,000 written questions. The final session of this Parliament ended with a waiata.
Oh!
Parliament's dissolution will take place at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, the 12th of August. The public is invited to watch in person or online. I te whakarongo koe ki te whare. Ne pōtake pūaki nā tētahi pūtia āwhina nō mai I te pārimata. Mā te wā.